Exactly.
And I think that art has to stretch a little bit. Does Van Gogh think his various works are, well, he doesn't think anything at the moment unless he's been reincarnated into a lily or something. But does he think that his work was perfect? No, probably not.
Well, right. And he's a great example because, you know, his work definitely was about evoking those deeper, darker energies mm-hmm. that people like to keep hidden because it's not so nice. Mm-hmm. That's not the nice part of us to show that. But I think that is really what art is intended to do, is to bring up those energies that people may not want to deal with on a surface level, that they may not be able to deal with on a surface level, but when they connect to it in a piece of art or in a piece of music, they don't have to intellectualize it. Mm-hmm. They can understand that thing that seems so strange or flawed within them is reflected back to them from someone they really respect, a musician or a painter, and then they can feel more connected.
Well, it's all about building connections, isn't it?
Why
we speak, it's why we sing.
Right.
And we don't always do it in the way that is textbook,
no.
or the way that is approved by the masses, the Disney mindset, or, you know.
I'd say we most
the
often
The Nashville
don't.
Mindset, where every song comes out sounding like it was made out of a cookie cutter.
Right,
and
exactly.
Where did I go? I've lost my train of thought.
Well, you know,
I just fell off the train.
You were talking a minute ago about you know, that imperfection and then trying to achieve this perfection in what we do. And sure, especially when we go on stage, we want to do this great performance for people, and we want to know our lyrics and know the chords and all those things. But one of the things that I find really interesting, and anytime I talk with artist friends about it, we all experience the same things, where we do a demo and the demo is just so sweet. It's just so perfect because it's got those things in it, like you were talking about, where the voice cracks or where you went to the wrong chord, but it turned out to be the right chord.
That's always my favorite moment.
Oh, yeah. You go, whoa, what just happened there?
I just rewrote the song. You know?
Yeah, exactly.
And for the better.
And it's funny because then we do these demos and then we go in to record the real thing, right? And mm-hmm. and we've got it really polished by then. And so often, I know it's happened to me, and I hear more and more people talk about it, that they go, well, it's not as good as the demo was, but mm-hmm. hey, it's turned out to be a great recording.
Mm-hmm. Well, and for example, the hymn that we just played, that's a demo.
Yes.
And then I re-recorded it on the Tierra Delgado record. It's not completely different, but it's got violin in it.
Mm-hmm.
It's got harmonies in it. It's just a different interpretation, and they both work.
Oh, yeah.
But there's a charm to the demo
Definitely.
That I'd forgotten all about until you played it for me.
Well, it's so funny, and I'm glad you brought that up, because this demo version, at least as of right now, the only place you can get that is on the Heaven CD that comes with the novel, and you can find that at heaventhenovel.com, where you'll also find a link for the rest of Reggie's music. But when Reggie originally sent me the demo and I fell in love with it, he later recorded it again on the Tierra Delgado mm-hmm. CD. And you're right, it's an incredible version. And I had to listen a lot to determine which version I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
But for the purposes of the novel, the demo version, which we've called Him, whereas the Tierra Delgado version is called Him to Them All. But Him has this raw sexuality to it.
It's a lot more vulnerable.
Yes, it is.
The Tierra Delgado version is a little more polished.
Mm-hmm. And it's beautiful.
And it's nice, but yeah, I tell you what, it's not a toss-up. I think I like the demo better.
Do you really? Yeah. Well, it's so funny because Joey Lomas, who played drums on that and recorded that for you, mm-hmm. he had forgotten about it too. And mm-hmm. when I played it for him, he said, wait a second, I remember this now. I like that version better as well. So it worked
out. And he engineered and helped me produce both of those.
Yeah.
So, you know, we both kind of lost side of the demo and mm-hmm. did this other thing, and either way we came out with two very nice versions of the
song. You know, the Hymn to Them All version, it starts with this incredible violin, and Reggie is a very accomplished violinist and fiddle player, if you will, because he tours with Charlie Pride as mm-hmm. well, and is really a first call violinist on a lot of sessions. So a lot of artists use you for that particular artistry and skill, including myself and my sister. And I would love it. Would you play something for us on violin today?
I found one here. This violin is not mine. It's courtesy of J. Rury Violin Shop, or Rury Violin Shop in Richardson. I just stopped by there about an hour ago and said, hey, you guys got a fiddle I can borrow?
I love it.
I'm about to go on the internet.
I love it. Oh,
so
this
haven't played this thing before, so it's we'll see what I can come out with.
But yeah.
You know what? I'll just play what I a little bit of Hymn to the Mall as well.
Do that.
Kind of how I started it on the Tierra del Gato, and just see what I
see where it goes from there. Yeah. He gave it a shot. Yeah. There's something so deep and rich about the violin.
Mm-hmm.
And watching you play it, I see you go into that place that is, that's what I call the zone.
Yeah, something... I kind of didn't know where I was for a few minutes there. I just was totally into playing, which is... It's not something I try to do. It just happens.
Exactly. Talk about that a little bit. Like, exactly what happens when you start. And talk about the way that feels a little bit as you lose your ego self and let that flow come through you. If you can even put it in words.
To think. The only thought that kept recurring to me while I was playing was, is anyone recognizing the melody when they hear me caterwauling like this? And then I would just go back to playing, and then it would crop up again. Well, maybe I should hit the melody a little bit, but okay. But for the most part, I was just playing. So I don't know how to describe it. It's just...
Well, it's kind of interesting how you know, when you're performing like that, you do kind of go in and out of that intellectual spot. And if you stay there, you lose it. It doesn't translate to people, you know. So it's like if you go into that place, and I know there are times when I've been performing that somehow I couldn't get into the zone for whatever reason. There might have been technical issues or just whatever's going on. And so you're thinking, and you just think, I never connected with that song. So it's only when you lose that intellectual piece, lose your mind, so to speak.
Lose your mind, exactly.
And just let your body completely connect the spirit, and it just takes over.
Well, that's where you have to be careful when you're teaching other people, young people starting out, that it's not just going to come. You really have to put in the hours to get comfortable. I'm comfortable enough on a fiddle that I can pick it up, and I don't have to think about what my fingers are doing, what my bow is doing. It's all just being guided by inner melody and the things I know I can do, I just do, and I rattle off. I don't have to think about it.
Right.
When you got to be careful. Oh, as long as you're passionate, as long as you know, you do have to put some work in, and it's not about being perfect. It's just about putting the hours in to get comfortable enough where you don't have to think about what you're doing. The less you think, the more freely you'll play.
Right.
Because if your brain gets involved, all it wants to do is drag things down. It's just like love. If you're making love to someone and you start thinking about, oh, I need to be doing this, or I need to be doing that, or she's not getting into it, like, you know, maybe I need to try this. You're not loving
it. And it gets worse and worse.
It's a technical exercise, and then you lose certain things that might enable you to be a better lover.
Absolutely.
Perhaps.
Yeah, no, that's a perfect analogy. Let's come back to that.
In other words, don't think, just screw.
Yeah, and with that, let's thank our sponsors, and we'll be right back on the Naked Vibes Hour on Leo Radio with Kimberly Kane and Reggie Roofer.
Thank you to sponsor Studio Honey. Studio Honey is a small, full-service design and production studio that specializes in helping you create a brand or refine your image. Whether you're a startup or an existing organization in need of a fresh approach, Studio Honey partners with you to provide effective and unique results in communicating your message to your audience. Studio Honey is committed to building long-term relationships with customers, and unlike large firms, Studio Honey offers affordable rates and is able to provide personal attention tailored to clients' needs. Identity marketing, imagineering, creative counsel. StudioHoney.com. Wynwood Gardens has caladium bulbs and elephant ears at discount prices. Direct from Florida growers, these are the healthiest, most vibrant caladiums you'll find anywhere. Brownwood Gardens is owned and operated by Master Gardener Dean Brown, a consultant and specialist in shade gardening. Also a professional speaker, Dean is available for presentations to groups of all sizes. Caladiums are easy to grow and can add a splash of color to shady areas where nothing else has seemed to work. Visit the website at brownwoodgardens.com. This is Leo Radio, Naked Vibes.
Back with Kimberly Kane on Leo Radio. That stands for Live Inside Out. I'm here with my friend and amazing musician performer Reggie Roofer today, and he's been playing for us live, and we've been talking about passion and music and our sexuality and all kinds of things, and it's always fun to have you around.
Thank you. It's fun to be passionate and musical.
No doubt. So we were talking about what you might want to play for us next, and you've got you're working on a new CD right now, right?
Yes, sort of. Yes,
loosely.
Okay. It's a work in progress. It may take a year, but yeah. I've got a fistful of songs, and I've got three that are all in the can, sort of, that they need, you know, some work. But we went over to Crystal Clear and recorded some songs. And I got a good little band. We just can't get them all together because everybody's a working musician. And
yes.
So it gets tricky. But
But I'm looking forward to it because you've had a lot of music out there and a lot of followers. And what we haven't mentioned is we've talked about Mildred and now the Ho Chi Minh and Reggie tours with Charlie Pride. Reggie also had a band called Spot that was signed to Interscope for a while and had some amazing songs on the Spot album, which I listen to still regularly.
Good for you.
I absolutely, not only, if you can't tell, not only is Reggie my friend, but I am a huge, huge fan.
Not only does she own the franchise, she uses the product.
Absolutely. Any chance I can get.
That's great. Thank you, dear.
You're welcome. So we have a few songs queued up that we can do and also have you here live. Would you like to play one of the recorded songs that we have?
Yeah, I think Good Fences would be a nice choice. Okay. Do you have that one handy?
I do have it
That's
handy.
A song written, yet another one written from a female perspective in which I was at a bar at a gig, and I was talking to a girl that I hadn't seen in a while, and she'd gotten married, moved out to the country. And it didn't work out. She comes back. She tells me her sob story, and I write a song called Good Fences.
That's what you have to watch out for when you're talking to songwriters.
Exactly.
It may come into a song next. So here is Good Fences from the Ho Chi Minh.
It's been a while since you said please. The thought of you just makes me freeze. And here I am stuck in this country town. Stuck up on it, you goes down. Finest lingerie for your best friend. A little kickback for the days you make me spend here all alone inside this dusty farmhouse. My love is starving like a Baptist church mouse. I had a chance, I had a choice. Grew tired of waiting on divine voice. Now I'm atoning yet again. My sure, I think of getting out of here, but then I have this paralyzing fear, and so I stand by what I said. I'm hoping soon you will be dead. I'm hoping soon you will be dead. I'm hoping soon you will be dead. Yeah.
that was the Ho Chi Minh Yubamya. Tell us a little bit about that song.
Well, that is pretty much one of those songs of me preaching to myself to to not get all, well, to pull my head out of my ass, basically. What's the matter with you, you bum, you?
I love it.
I love the lyrics. I think it's really cool. Oh. Idle hands caress each other, lose themselves in some sweet sensation. Boredom yawns and coughs and stretches. Making plans to eat your heart out.
You're quite the lyricist.
Have you ever had a passion? Laugh at yourself. Try to find it. That's basically the message of the song.
Yeah, which is a great message, you know. I mean, a lot of times, you know, I don't know, sometimes when those of us who put really deep messages into our artwork, as both of us do, you know, a lot of times it's like you were talking about preaching before. What I always want people to know is I'm not preaching to you. I'm preaching to remind my own self of these things, too. And hopefully in doing it out loud, it will help others connect to that and go, yeah, you know.
That's definitely a soliloquy. I mean, I'm definitely talking to myself in that song. That's the thing. People get all bummed out and wrapped around their problems.
Yeah.
And they're just not in a great place. And nothing's working out like they want it. And I'm thinking, perfect. This is exactly where you need to be. This is where you say, okay, so this is where my life has gotten to me at this point. This is exactly the lesson I need to learn. So how do you fix it? You stop worrying, number one. Do what you can, and you just go out there and find passion.
Exactly.
Get passionate about something other than your own morose self-pity.
Kind of get yourself out of
the way. People are more passionate about their with their self-pity than they are about something positive.
There's no question. And that is, as long as you identify with that problem, that's what you are and that's what you got.
You'll be the problem.
And it really, I know sometimes when I talk about this, I know people can say, oh yeah, sure, it's simple for you to say that. But really, it is just that simple to say, you know what, right now, I'm going to be different from that. I'm just going to shift that and look at it in a whole different way. Now, you may not change the physical energy surrounding that thought immediately, but you'll start to change them immediately.
It's a baby steps. If you got to, take baby steps.
That's right.
And the first thing you say is, I'm not a problem.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem. I'm creating the problem. Or rather, the problem is not something that's happening to me. I'm creating it.
Exactly.
So when you stop creating it, then you start creating solutions and love and laughter and light.
Yeah. Well, it's what you were talking about, having that passion and going back to that, you have to practice and first create the skills in your life to have the skill set to be able to let go and let passion flow. It's really the same thing with everything that we do in our lives. Spirituality is not something that people go, okay, I'm going to be spiritual today. I'm going to be a more spiritual person. Well, we are spirits. We are spirits, and we're walking around in this vehicle of this physical body. And so just knowing that we're spirits, we already are spiritual. And so it's a matter of practicing just the awareness of that on a daily basis. And we were laughing earlier about that idea of I'm perfect right now.
Yeah.
I'm perfect just like I am.
I am, and I'm in an ever-increasing state of awareness. It's like we look at stars and forget the space.
Yeah.
And the space is just as beautiful.
And bigger.
And bigger, lots bigger.
It's like, what's in that space? All these possibilities, right?
I've been reading Leo Hartong. Maybe you're familiar with his fine work.
A little
bit. Awakening
to
the Dream. It's about non-duality and that sort of thing. And so my mind is increasingly about that subject.
Well, and that's, in the first hour when I'm talking about spirituality and sexuality, I think sometimes people really have trouble dealing with those concepts of non-duality. So we have to start with saying, okay, right now in our Western culture, we've had this monotheism, right? Which is this male god figure.
Patriarchal society, yeah.
And so at some point we have to bring in the feminine aspect to that so we can marry these two things together. And then at some point, once they are married, then you see that there is non-duality there, that it's unified. It's this unified whole. And that's big, and it's exciting.
You have to break out of the me against the world or us against them mentality that is mm-hmm. so pervasive. And that's the biggest problem in duality, is that you're pitting yourself against something rather than
yes.
flowing with all, which is beautiful. And I know that sounds sort of... it's not a great way to say that, but you know what I mean.
Well, but yeah, I kind of look at it like it always sounds, when you say it, a little bit trite, or gee, that sounds so easy. But really, the solution to war on a global scale starts with just you and me, just us sitting here together. It really starts with me inside myself. When mm-hmm. I can get along with my own self and embrace my own self, then the next thing I can do is accept you exactly as you are and embrace you. That's the beginning of it. So it's about individuals instead of about countries. Countries are made up of individuals mm-hmm. and ideas. And when we face off against each other, as long as I believe that my ideas are right and that yours are wrong because they're different, there will never be peace within that.
Mm-hmm.
It's got to be, I have my ideas, you have yours, and there's probably a lot of truth in both of them, and there's probably a lot of blockage of the truth in both of them, and we'll work through that as long as we kind of accept that both of these energies are there.
Mm-hmm. Well, Alan Watts, a very profound writer and thinker, said we can either recognize that this is differentiated unity or unified differences.
Mm-hmm.
It's differentiated unity. It's not unified differences.
I like that.
And that's the thing people have to realize. It's not you against the world.
I like that a lot. That's a really good concept and a good way to lead into another song, I think, by you, because
okay.
I love